You know, we don't realize, I think, how many choices we make every day. Some of them are like automatic habits, right? A lot of you probably don't think about, well, I wonder if I'll brush my teeth this morning or not. Or, you know, for me, I always have a dilemma, should I brush my hair or not? Yeah, that's a thing. Or, you know, but this, you know, for me today, it was like, is it a grande or a venti day? For me, for coffee, is it, you know, how awake am I? And those are just kind of silly things, but you know, we face all kinds of decisions every day about, you know, am I going to follow Jesus in this area of my life today? Am I going to tell the truth now? Right? Am I going to spend time with Jesus in the Word today? Those are decisions that are far more important than what I just mentioned before, right? Daily decisions. And I want to just say that, you know, the passage that we're going to look at today in 1 Kings is a warning. It's a warning not just to Solomon, but to all of us, that every day, in a sense, every moment, we will need to decide, am I going to follow Jesus? Okay? And so I would like to pray. And then I'll mention something about the video we're going to watch in just a second. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together here in your name, and that you're here with us. And thank you, Lord, for what Jesus has done for us, as Nick shared. And we are just blessed beyond measure. And we just pray, Lord, today that you'd help us to see what your word has to say about that dailyness of discipleship, daily and minute by minute making choices that are within your revealed will. And so, Lord, we ask for your help today, not only in this text, but also just help us, Lord. We pray, Lord, as a body, help us, Lord, to just, you know, heal us from physical ailments. We ask for your healing. We ask for your help in and even just if we're feeling kind of under the spiritual attack, to Lord, help us to lay hold of the resources you've given us to stand firm. And Lord, we also just pray for your comfort, Lord, for those of us that are mourning, hurting. We ask for your tangible presence, Lord. Help us. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let me say something here before we watch this brief video. Steve Farrar is the speaker, and he is kind of known for speaking to Christian men. Yeah, he's written books like Point Man and Finishing Strong, and spoken in the past years at Promise Keepers events and so on. And so you need to realize in this video, he's speaking to men, but the message he has is for all Christians, okay? So I want you to think about that. So whenever he's talking about men, just think about Christians. And some of the, in the example he's giving, he's also mentioning pastors or missionaries, but don't think like super Christian. Think just Christian. Okay, this is to all of us, okay? And I want us to listen to this. It's just 5 minutes long, but listen to what he has to say.
Greatest preacher since the Apostle Paul. Now, the moral of that story is, in the Christian life, it's not how you start the count, it's how you finish. You see the priority here of the desire to finish strong? John Bassanio, for many, many years, pastored in Houston. And I heard John tell a story years ago. And John was telling the story of having dinner with his fiance's family. He was 21 years old, graduating from Christian college. He's going to go into ministry. So they have dinner. After dinner, he goes out on the porch, sitting out there with his future father-in-law, Dr. Paul Beck. And they're just talking. And Dr. Beck had been in ministry a long time, knew that young John was going to go into ministry. And Dr. Beck said to John at one point, he said, you know, John, as you get ready to go into ministry, Make sure, John, that you keep your heart close to Christ every day. Every day. And young 21-year-old John Bassanio said, well, yes, sir, I know that's important. But the older gentleman knew that the young guy wasn't quite getting it. He said, John, let me tell you why I say that. He said, it's been my experience over the years. I've seen a lot of guys come and go. I've seen a lot of guys who are remarkably gifted. I've seen a lot of guys with a lot of passion for the Lord. But John, it's been my experience that for every 10 young men who start strong with Christ in their 20s, that by the time those young men hit the finish line at 60 or 70 or 80, it's been my experience that of those 10 young men who started strong, when they hit the finish line, only one out of 10 is actually going to finish strong. And that shocked John Bassanio. He said, one out of 10, that can't be. He said, John, I'm telling you, that's how it works. Because when you set your course to follow Christ, you're going to get opposition. And what you're going to find is that men with passion, men with commitment, men with great promise and with great gifts are going to make, they're going to make a launch. And then what happens is the enemy is going to come in and he's going to attempt to ambush them. Some guys are going to be ambushed by theological liberalism, like Chuck Templeton. Others are going to be ambushed by the love of money. It's just too strong. The love of things, the love of affluence. Others are going to be going to be trapped by sexual immorality, and they're not even going to see it coming. But they're going to make small compromises that lead to larger compromises, and before you know it, they're going to ruin their lives. He said, I'm just saying, John, one out of 10, in my experience, are going to finish strong. That so shocked young John Bassanio, he went home that night. And what he did, he took his Bible, and you know how they have some blank pages in the back of your Bible? He took one of those blank pages and he started thinking about his peers and his friends, guys that were in Christian college with him, guys that were committed to Christ, guys who would die for Christ, guys who were going to go on the seminary and be pastors, guys who were going to go to the mission field, guys who, this was their passion. And he's thinking about each of them, and he said, you know, and he started writing down names. Because these are my friends and I know these guys and we're going to finish strong. He wrote down 24 names that night. I heard him at the luncheon, and he said, I am now 53 years old. He said, I am sorry to tell you that over the years I've received a letter that broke my heart, and I would have to turn back to a page, and I'd have to put a line through a name. Or I would receive a phone call. And whenever this happened, it was just a grievous experience. I'd have to turn back, and I'd have to put a line through a name. He said at the luncheon, I am now 53 years old. Of the original 24 names in the back of my Bible, there are three of us left. So you're saying so you're saying one out of 10. That's quite an alarming statistic. By the way, you got any scripture for that, Steve? No. I don't. I can't prove 1 out of 10. But if your number's 13, I can prove 2 out of 12. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13.
If you don't know what he's talking about there in Numbers, he's talking about when they sent out the 12 spies, and only two came back with a favorable report saying, we can take them. Right? We can take them. Very sobering. You know, we think in our minds, well, certainly I'll be following Christ 10 years from now. Certainly I'm going to be all in like I am now. And that's what we're thinking. But the only way that's going to be true of us if we have certain things in our lives right now. Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to finish strong. And we're going to kind of use 1 Kings 9 as a launch pad into another passage. Okay, but I want to look at that warning that King Solomon gets. If you're able to stand with me as I read the scripture, please stand. If you're not, that's fine. Stay seated if you can't stand. And just we'll read this Actually, I'll just read it. I want you to just listen to the words. These are words coming from God. And you may remember that we ended in chapter 8. This was King Solomon's prayer of dedication. He was praying to the Lord, seeking the Lord, dedicating this new temple building to the Lord. And now the Lord's going to answer back. So that's where we are here. So just listen. 1 Kings 9, 1-9 says, "As soon as Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to build, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and your plea which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you turn aside from following me, you and your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I have given them, and the house that I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples." This is the word of God. Please have a seat. And so, you know, it's quite a stern word from the Lord. He's saying, you know, listen, if you follow me, you know, if you follow me, I'm going to bless you. If you don't follow me, there's going to be consequences, right? And so I just find it interesting that, you know, he's talking to the king. He's talking to the head kahuna, right? He's the leader, the figurehead of the leadership of God's people. And he's saying, listen, you, Solomon, you have to follow me every day. And not only that, but the people of God have to follow me every day. And it's a daily thing. Right now, we see King Solomon kind of the height of his walk with God. He's doing really well. In about another chapter, that's all going to change. It's all going to change. And it ends very sadly. And so I think when we're talking about this finishing strong, and as we will see in the week or two here, Solomon is not going to finish strong. And so we hear this warning from the Lord. And, you know, when we read the Bible, we should see that as, you know, this is a warning to us too. You know, this is not just something to Solomon. This is not just something that happened thousands of years ago. God wants us to follow him too, right? And he wants us to stay the course. And there are ups and downs in following Jesus, and it's not a bed of roses and all this kind of thing, and some of us know that very well. But God's word here to us this morning is that this is a daily decision, okay? And I want you to remember that. You know, when you first come to Christ, you know, that's a decision, right? But to continue follow him is a daily thing. And like I said, follow him in every area of our lives. And what does God have to say about finances? What does he have to say about relationships? What does he have to say about marriage? What does he have to say about parenting? What does he have to say about work? What does he have, you know, whatever. You know, we are on, when you become a Christian and you say, I'm going to follow Jesus, we are on the world's longest continuing education degree that there ever is, because it never stops, right? We should never stop learning and growing. And so this is a daily thing. And so as I saw this warning here, I couldn't help but think about a particular passage in the New Testament, okay? And there are plenty of warnings and so on. But there's a particular passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that does give us an image, a word picture about enduring, right? So when you talk about finishing strong, We're talking about really endurance. Will I endure to the end, in a sense, right? Will I stick with following Jesus, right? And so this word endurance pops up in a few verses in the New Testament, and I want to just look at one of those sections here. I didn't finish the last verse, did I? Well, okay. How about I read that? Oh, gosh. Right out of the gate. Okay. So verse 8 says, "And this house will become a heap of ruins." You know, more encouraging words for not following. "Everyone passing by it will be astonished and will hiss, and they will say, 'Why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house?' And they will say, 'Because they abandoned the Lord, their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and laid hold of on other gods.'" You see, this is what other people will say. And that's kind of sobering, isn't it? Right? This is what people, you know, think about, put this in our context of following Jesus. This is what people will say of us if we stop following Jesus. Right? Okay, now on to this other passage that I really want to kind of focus in on, like the encouragement to finish strong. So we have the warning. We have the warning. And so I want to just look in here at Hebrews chapter 12 and to just look at how to finish strong. The passage here reads in verses 1 through 3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So there's that word endurance, right? "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." And you see, some form of that word "endure" shows up three times in that passage, right? And so the challenge again is for us to daily and minute by minute to choose to follow Jesus. Right? And that can come in the way of all kinds of little decisions. Like I mentioned some, you know, will I tell the truth in this moment? God's word is so clear on so many things. Like, right, you know, I don't know whether God's word doesn't tell me to go to this college or that college specifically or whatever, but there are so many very clear things, right? You know, tell the truth. There's plenty of verses about speaking the truth, okay? And just in those moments, deciding for God, for Christ, and following him in his revealed will. And in this passage in Hebrews 12, there are a few things that kind of stick out to me. One is just that opening phrase there where it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," right? And the "therefore" is referring back to the previous chapter, chapter 11, right? That some people, you know, call the Hall of Faith, right? And it mentions all these men and women of God who were believing in the promises of God, even though they did not quite realize the fulfillment of all those promises, okay? But they were faithful. They were full of faith, okay? They followed Jesus. They put their faith in God, right? And so, but we see, we need to take encouragement from the example of believers in Scripture, right? So as we... not just the ones mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11 just before this, because that's the cloud of witnesses is talking about, right? People that have gone before us and lived faithfully for the Lord, right? Romans 15:4 comes to mind when I think about this, about the scriptural examples helping us. It says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance," there's that word endurance again, "and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." You see, God's word and the examples that we see in scripture give us hope. They help us endure, right? When you see When you read the book of Job and you see that man tried by fire, right? And you see he was just not going to curse God. He was going to hang on to the Lord, putting his faith in him regardless of all the things he experienced, all the loss and all that. He clung to God. He was clinging to God. And so that gives me hope. I said that Job, by God's grace, endured. I can too. You can too. And so that's, you know, just one of many reasons why we need to be in the Scriptures. We're not going to be able to give that hope that comes from them if we're not in it, right? But just so many things I mentioned something in social media here the other day. Second Corinthians is kind of one of my favorite books. God keeps bringing me back to it in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of contexts. And so it seems to be God just keeps pulling me back there. And in that first chapter, I just am reminded of the Apostle Paul and how he went through all these things and how all the heartache and difficulty. But his mindset was, but as I go through that and God comforts me, it's almost like God's comfort is greater than my suffering. Whatever I'm going through will never exceed God's ability to minister to me and to comfort me. And you see, but if I don't read the Word of God, I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to receive that comfort, right? And so I just want to say that, you know, we, of all people, should be people of the book, right? And it's not just about a reading plan. It's not about saying, oh, I read my Bible. It's about so that we can meet God and so that we can then from that continue to follow him. And we see just here, just in this passage here, the cloud of witnesses, the witnesses in Scripture, men and women, just like you and me, weak and feeble and stumbling, but yet wanting to follow Jesus, right? And so that's one thing. If you read the Bible, the more you read it, you realize, you know, God was not hiding anything. The good, the bad, and the ugly all comes out, you know. So we need to realize that we can take great comfort, right? So finishing strong, right? Doesn't it encourage you when you read a story about someone that's gone through something that you are going through? Or that, you know, it really bolsters you up, right? And that's what happens when we encounter these people in the Bible. Not just stories, these things really happen, right? And God was working in their lives. And he put them there. He says he put these there in Romans 15:4. He says he specifically put them there. What was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. And so I just say, hey, encourage us all the more as we get into our Bibles. We pray. I hope you pray before you read and get in there and say, God, speak to my heart. Show me what you want to show me. Let me have a willingness to respond to whatever you show me. And he will faithfully show you what he wants, what you need. And often it's just such a timely word. Right? And so, take encouragement from example of Scripture, of the believers in Scripture there. The second thing in this Hebrews passage, as we look at it, is to remember that following Jesus is a daily decision. Now, I know I've been mentioning that, but I want to look at that Hebrews verse there in those first three verses where it says, let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Meaning, you know, following Jesus is not a sprint. It's like an endurance race, right? I heard recently for the very first time about an ultra marathon. You guys ever heard of that, an ultra marathon? There are different distances, but some of them are 100 miles. 100 miles? I can't. Are you kidding me? Right now, with my right knee, I don't think I could run 1 mile. 100 miles! Right? And the one person that was talking about this was saying that someone he knew that trained for one of these 100-mile races 6 days a week, runs 20 miles. Gets up in the morning and runs 20 miles. And then if you do that long enough, then you can run, when needed, 100 miles. I was like, wow, that is incredible, right? Just thinking about that. But you know, it takes that daily decision, right? If those people are going to run 100 miles, they can't just up one day and say, I'm going to run 100 miles. It's not going to happen. Just like you can't really do that with a regular marathon, right? Just decide, oh, yeah, I've never worked out. I've never run a day in my life. I think I'm going to go join the Columbus Marathon. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, after about mile two, the stretcher will be waiting on you, right? It's just not going to happen. And so we need to see this, that the Christian life, couched here in the metaphor of a race, right? The Christian life is a race. Now, we're not running against one another. It's kind of like our own race, right? And the goal is to finish well, to finish well, to follow the Lord Jesus. And yes, there will be times, you guys, when we don't do well, when we stumble and we fall in the race. But the key is to get back up. To get back up and keep running, not to throw in the towel. And those that throw in the towel, as Steve Ferrara is mentioning, those names that got crossed off the list in the back of that one guy's Bible, that's what? They dropped out of the race. They stopped following Jesus. I didn't play it for you, but earlier on in that message, he gives a testimony about three evangelists, one of which was Billy Graham, and there were two other ones, and one of which was considered to be way better than Billy Graham. And he totally rejected Christianity at one point. I mean, and he died in that. Right? And so it's just very sobering, okay? And so if there's anything that we're to come away with, it's this warning. It's a sober warning, right? That when the scripture says, you take heed lest you fall. Don't you think that you won't be one of the names. And let that be a healthy fear of the Lord, right? Let that be a healthy fear, that we will be watchful over our hearts, right? We'll be watchful over our hearts. We need to remember that this is a daily decision. You know, God's word to Solomon back there in 1 Kings was not, hey, Solomon, you're starting off great. Don't worry about the rest of your life. That wasn't what he said. No. The first time the Lord appeared to Solomon, he was so pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for all the other things that the Lord eventually gave him. He just wanted wisdom to lead God's people, which was a great ask, right? But he couldn't rest in that place and say, okay, I made the right call there. I can just coast from here on out. No, the Lord's telling him there, keep following me, Solomon. Every day, keep following me. Daily following, daily obedience. I hear that. I think about a book by that title of Eugene Peterson, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It's just a continual thing, right? We just keep on every day. Sometimes at our baptisms in the past, we've sung that. I don't know if it's a hymn or if it's a, you guys probably know better than I do, but a hymn or a spiritual, but like, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know? And again, we sing that as kind of like, I'm following Jesus, and certainly baptism is a public display of someone it's a public display of something that's already happened in their heart that they want to follow Jesus, right? And again, that's our daily song. Today, when my feet hit the floor, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? And so running with endurance is just so critical for us. Third thing here that's mentioned in this passage, I mean, there are other things, I'm not mentioning everything, but it mentions looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Has anybody here ever been a part of like a crew team, like rowing? Anybody here ever done that? Nobody? Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, good. So I know that Dave Hauser, who has spoken here before from Grace Point Church, his wife, Michelle, was on a team of people for about a year or two and did some rowing and so on. Who is that guy? The coxswain. Coxswain, right? So coxswain, that's the term. Anybody know why he's important? What's that? Keeps the rhythm. What else? Yeah, he's steering the show, man. Everybody else is facing the other way. Right? They're rowing that way. Right? They're doing this. Am I right? You're wrong. Yeah, they're doing this. He's calling the shots. He's telling them which way, this way, this way, the other. They got to keep their eyes on that guy, or they're going to be all willy-nilly. They're not going to reach the finish line, right? And just a simple real-life illustration of the importance. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, as it says there in Hebrews 12. Looking to Jesus. A couple things I think about when I think about looking to Jesus. Certainly from that passage in Hebrews 12, he mentions about looking to his example. Jesus endured all kinds of suffering, right? As it is said in that passage. Let me mention it to you again here. Don't get the words wrong. He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, again, this is the idea, consider him, look to him, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So there's this correlation of looking to Jesus and helping us endure to keep following him. And certainly, I think within the context, he's talking about these people suffering for their faith, okay? But also just the dailiness of keep looking to Jesus. So Jesus's incredible example, right, of endurance helps us. As we encounter difficult times, we look to Jesus and what he has done for us. I also thought about this, that keeping our eyes on the Lord is also relying on his power. As we look to him, say, Lord, I need your help. Right? I can't do this on my own. And Colossians 1:29 says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that works powerfully within me. We've mentioned this many times, this tension, right? We are to work hard. There is effort on our part. There is discipline on our part. But that's not the end-all, be-all. As we do that, and in faith looking to him, he empowers us. Okay? This, I don't know how it is, but it is, right? We have to work hard, but then the Lord supplies the power to do it. And so in Colossians 1:29, that's those two things in one verse. As he says, for this I toil, struggling with all the energy that powerfully works within me. He toils, he's struggling with all the energy that he, the Lord, powerfully works within us. Right? So we look to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, today, whatever you're going through, whatever the difficult circumstances, you look to him and say, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to respond in a Christ-like manner. I want to be faithful. So Lord, empower me. Help me to love. Help me to say the truth. Help me whatever it is you're doing. I mean, this is a moment-by-moment thing, right? I mean, and you and I kind of know, when we come to those decision points that we know, like, it's almost like the Holy Spirit says, hey, this is something, this is a thing for you. You need to decide to choose what you know God wants you to do or not. You know, sometimes, you know, it's mentioned in this passage about kind of, you know, when you run a race, you don't want to be encumbered by a lot of things. You want to throw off the things that might be hindering you, right? And so the sin that so easily entangles. He's saying we need to throw that off. We need to really work hard at, by God's grace, to gain victory in that and to not let that slow us down, right? But we need his power for that. Let me talk about this too, just looking to Jesus. I mentioned about being in God's word already, but I want to mention this too, this quote from Blaise Pascal, who's a Christian French mathematician and physicist. He says this, all the troubles of life come upon us because we refuse to sit quietly for a while each day in our rooms. He said this again. He says, all of the troubles of life come upon us because we refuse to sit quietly for a while each day in our rooms. And I think he's getting at the idea of quiet time, right? Not racing around, but slowing down, spending time with God, and listening to what he has to say. And certainly, you know, he's not equal to Scripture, but I think he's pointing to what Jesus did. Jesus was always spending time with the Father. He was always slipping away, spending time in prayer. That's part of looking to Jesus. And so this is all part of kind of maintaining a sensitive heart. This is really, because you think about obedience really is linked to our heart. If we're going to be faithful, it's just linked to our heart. We want to be careful. We want to guard our heart. We don't want to let our hearts drift off away from the Lord. We want to maintain a sensitivity to God. Also in Hebrews, it says in chapter 3, it says, take care, brothers, verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is a warning, is it not? It's a warning. It's a warning saying, listen, don't let your heart be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Take care, he says. In a sense, it's a warning to keep following God. How do we do that? By maintaining and guarding our hearts. And that particular verse, right, does mention that what's really kind of linked to my next point here, which is to stay relationally plugged into the church and be accountable. Because when you look at that Hebrews 3 that I just talked about there, says, exhort one another every day, as long as it is still called today, right? So there is this, one of the ways we're going to help each other finish strong in following Jesus is by our connection to the body of Christ, okay? And this is critical. You know, it's not, you want to be a part of a local body of church and be vitally involved in relationships there, not just to say that you went to church on Sunday. Because, by the way, that's really not a thing anymore, you know. There's not a societal pressure to be involved in a church. 50 years ago, there would have been a pressure. If you didn't go to a church, there might be certain avenues in social life you would not have access to. You would have been looked down upon. That's not even a thing anymore. Okay? And so we come together. You know, and parents with young kids, you choose to go through whatever you have to go through to get your kids in the door, out your door and into the van, and then over here and all that happens in between. And by the time you get here, say, Lord, my kids need Jesus and so do I. It's hard, isn't it? Some days all hell feels like, I mean, literally, it feels like all hell is coming against you bringing your family. It really is. It really is. And so just know this. And you know, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here, right? And so if you know someone that's kind of slipping off the radar of being here, you should exhort them and encourage them to be here, okay? Not because they can check it off their attendance list, but for this verse I just mentioned, okay? It's a safeguard. It says, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There is a safeguard in being here. And not just Sunday morning, but be involved in each other's lives, right? Letting people, I mean, once you build trust with people in the church, then you hopefully let them in, and there can be some mutual accountability. Because we were not to really meant to follow Jesus alone. There are so many scriptures that point to us that need and necessity for biblical community and accountability. This is counterculture. Okay? And you have to realize that, you know, when we talk about those following Jesus is a daily decision. And that means when it comes to Sunday or whatever it is, when, for us it's Sunday, right? That is a decision. Right? That is a decision that has to be made. So I think sometimes we just, again, because it's really kind of seen as optional, even within the Christian community today, Sunday attendance is optional, okay? It's like, if I feel like it today, we'll go. If I don't, we won't. Well, I've never had that luxury for the last 25 years. But even before that, I was just involved, because when you get involved and you get committed, like just in serving, right? It changes your mentality, right? Because then you move from being a consumer to an active serving member of the body of Christ, right? And I totally get it. You know, there is always a phase when you first visit a church and you go through some time and you're checking out. You want to make sure that it's okay. Totally get that, right? But you know, I just grew up in a campus church that it was like, of course we're all ministers, because you know, ministers, not like as a profession, but we're ministering. Of course I'm going to be at church. I want to hear what God has to say. Right? And I want to be used by God to help other people, and I want them to speak into my life, which they have done so many times over the years. So there's so much more than a pastor giving a sermon up here on Sunday that goes on. And so praise the Lord you're here. But I'm just saying, you know, this, you got to think about it. This is a safeguard around our heart this time. It's the one time during the week at least that we can if we need to realign to true north with the Lord Jesus. Right? As a body, it's so critical. So I hope that you are involved in coming here, right, and on a regular basis, and that see your responsibility, right? This is not, it didn't say just for pastors. It didn't say, you know, only pastors can really go after and talk to people that are not here. Right? One another, it says. Exhort one another, right? That's loving your brother or sister. It's important. And so you hear Steve when he said, you know, most of those guys probably didn't get up one day and say, you know, I think I'm going to stop following Jesus today. That didn't happen. It happened, small compromises. Little things here, little things there, grew into bigger things, and all of a sudden, they're way off course. And so that's why it's so important. to stay relationally plugged into the church and be accountable. It's critical. So these are just a few things in that passage, that Hebrews passage 12 and Hebrews 3, that just I see, and there's other places you could go to talk about enduring and to finish strong. But I just saw that passage in 1 Kings 9. It's a major warning. It's just a warning. It says, listen. You know, and parents, you know, I know, you know, it really, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, it's that kid. That kid has decisions to make. They're going to be their own person. That's totally going to happen, okay? But when they're under your watch, all right, it's up to you to set the pace. It's up to you to set the tone, right? It's up, you know, don't let them to decide whether they're coming to church. I mean, I'm just saying, that's me. Now, you may disagree with me, but I say, you know what? You're living in my house, we're going to church. That's the way it is. When they're out of my house, I got no control over that. That's the way that is. So that's you know, and I didn't mean to be all about coming to church today, but I'm telling you, I just think about it. It's just so not happening. In a lot of places around, you know, it's just not. Okay, and again, it's because we want to. We just got to see. I mean, when you're not here, the body is missing out. You don't think about that. You think about, oh, nobody's going to miss me. Well, that's baloney. That's the enemy. They're never going to miss me. Nobody even calls. You know, that's a whole other thing. But I'm just saying, you know, we got to think that way. The scripture tells us the gifts that you have will, the body is incomplete if you're not here. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the body. And thank you, God, for the grace that you give us to keep following you. It is only by your grace that we do. And thank you that Jesus lived a perfect life and died for us and rose again from the dead, paying the penalty for our sin. His righteousness, his perfect life put to our account. Thank you, God. Because we know we don't always choose the right thing. We don't always follow you. We stumble. But when we do, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God. Help us, God, to daily follow you, to make the tough decisions to follow you and make the right decisions. Help us, God, to hang on to community with each other and not see it as an optional thing, but as your provision to minister to one another and as our protection. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.